A lamp to our feet and is a light to our path that establishes the way and helps us to know and love you and serve you. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us now as we look at your word together, meditate on it, think about it, apply it to our hearts and lives. We pray for a work of your spirit in the hearts of each one of us so that your word would come alive to us, it would be illuminated, it would be real, it would speak to us. And Father, that we would live lives that are truly lives that you would have us to live, that we would live the way you want us to live. We would think your thoughts after you and speak your words that you have spoken. So we pray all this in Jesus, our Lord and Master. Amen. Are you a member of the church, guys? Member of the church? It's great, isn't it? It's great being a member of the church. And I meet lovely Christians, though, quite often, who will say to me, Jeff, I don't want to be a member of the church because church membership is not in the Bible. I didn't read about anywhere that you have to do a church membership ceremony or anything. I don't read about that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're right. We don't read about a ceremony, but we do read about people being members of the body of Christ. And of course, we know that the body of Christ is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are questions that come up about that. And people do have questions about church membership. What does that involve? Because I know that sometimes churches put other... I've heard of churches that say, if you want to be a member of our church, you've got to promise a whole lot of things. And one of them is that you've got to promise that you've got to tithe. And another one is you've got to promise that you're not going to drink any alcohol. And another one is you're going to promise that you're not going to go to any movies, or you promise that you're not going to smoke any cigarettes. It's like, well, I can understand how you might feel a bit hairy about church membership if that's what your experience of it is. So I want us to look at that this morning from this passage, just particularly the verses 3 to 8. Where the Apostle Paul brings this exhortation to the church. This was a church, by the way, that he hadn't visited them. He didn't know these people, but he was writing a letter to introduce himself to them because he wanted to visit them, the church, the Christians in Rome. And so he writes, the book of Romans is generally understood as quite a complicated book. It's got lots of deep theological things. It talks about justification, it talks about sanctification, it talks about union with Christ and all that. But it talks about very practical things as well. And one of the things it talks about here is what it means to be a member of the church. And there's just there's four things that I want us to think about this morning as we think about church membership. I would like for you to take away. The first thing is this: church membership is about others. Church membership is about others. So often when we think about church membership, we think about me. Okay, we think about what's in it for me or what am I going to get out of it. But I want to put it to you this morning that church membership is about others. See, sometimes we avoid commitments, don't you? If you're not like me, you know, sometimes you don't want to commit yourself to something because you don't want to get tied down into something. You know, like somebody says to you and says, how do you react when somebody comes to you and says, hey, can I ask you a favor? And they pause. And you go, yeah, yeah, so what is it? You know, it's a cautious personality, okay? But if you say to children, you say, hey, I want to volunteer. And they all, you know, if you're 8 and 9 years old, you just volunteer, man. Look, see, I've got one already down the back. It's just like, volunteer. And you go, volunteer to go and pick up rubbish. So, sometimes we're a bit cautious about it. We don't want to commit ourselves. And people go, sometimes for, you know, spiritual sort of reasons, they'll say, I don't want to commit myself to the church because, yeah, there's some crazy people there, or some of their theology is a bit wonky, or, you know, they're not really quite biblical, or they don't agree with this teaching, or they don't have that teaching, you know, my teaching on baptism, or my teaching on the Lord's Supper, or my teaching on eldership, or whatever. And so we sort of hold back. And so it's interesting how the Apostle Paul deals with this. He says in verse 3, "For by the grace of God given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has ordained." In other words, he's saying, you know, when you think about the church, when you think about your other Christians, you have to be careful that you're not coming with an attitude of spiritual pride and thinking somehow I'm too good for these people. You know, I understand things in the Bible that these folks don't understand. And so I'm not going to go and join in with them because I'll be lowering my standards or somehow I'll be dragging myself down to them. When Mari and I were started going out, she was going to a different church, and I haven't told her this, but I kind of thought her church was a bit crazy, you know, and that she was going, they used to run, they used to wave flags everywhere, and people used to, you know. Well, I went once and a guy preached for 3 hours, and you know, and so what was my attitude? My attitude was, you know, these people, I wish they knew what I knew, okay? All right. I wish they, you know, I wish they had my understanding. And I was sitting there, I was there at church once, and this guy got up to pray. And he got up and he just prayed this amazing prayer. He just said something like, he said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess that I've sinned against you and I'm not worthy of your mercy. Please have mercy on me." And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit went just smash, you know? Just like kapow. It was KO for me. And God just said, "Jeff, you've been sitting here, you've been judging these people. And you've been thinking you're somehow superior. You've been thinking somehow you're better. You've been thinking somehow you know more or whatever." And this guy has just got up and expressed more faith and humility than you have all week in one simple little prayer. So don't you judge these people, you know. And so often we hold back. For that reason, we go, well, you know, I'm looking for the right church. I'm looking for the perfect church. You know what they say about that perfect church? Don't join it. Don't join that perfect church. You know why not? It won't be perfect if you join it, or if I join it. It'll be imperfect, that church, if you go and join that perfect church. So Paul says, you know, brothers and sisters, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but think of yourselves with sober judgment, and think of yourselves as you ought to do. Sometimes we just don't even try and make up spiritual sort of excuses to be proud. We just go, well, they're not my sort of people. I don't know if I fit in there. Meaning, they dress funny. They smell. They're just ugly or whatever. I don't know. And that's just straight out pride. We just think we're just too arrogant. We're just too proud. And we think we're somehow better than other people. You know, it was one of the shocking things about the early church was this, and people were like offended by it. Many Romans, you know, who were not Christians, they said, "What is going on with these Christians? You go into their meetings, and there are slaves sitting there, and next to them are noble women, the wives of members of the Senate, and so forth. What is wrong with these Christians? Don't they know that society should be divided up into different people and different stratas and different levels and classes and all that?" And the Christian says, "No, we don't believe that because we are all one in Jesus Christ." And so this is the thing. The church membership, it's not about yourself, is it? It's about others. It's not about, you know, who you think you are, but it's about how you belong to the body of Christ and how you can be a blessing and benefit to others. It's not about yourself, it's about others. Church membership is also about faith. Rather than being a matter of pride, it's about trusting in the Lord. Notice how Paul describes it here. He says, not to think of yourselves more highly, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the many members do not all have the same function. So he says, you've got to think about it with a mindset of faith, rather than looking at your who you are and, you know, your education or how you dress or your background or your nationality or the color of your skin or your eyes or your hair or your shoes. You don't think about it like that. He says you think about it with faith. It's about trusting in God. Each one has blessed us with faith, and we've all have a different measure of faith. And we come and we gather together according to the grace that God has given us. So then, rather than looking at the external issues, rather than letting pride get in the way, we're encouraged to commit ourselves to the body of Christ. We're encouraged to commit ourselves to the church as an act of faith, the faith that God gives us to be a part of his body. You see, the focus is then, it's not on the outside. It's not on what the eye can see. It's not upon what the world would look at and values that as power and prestige and beauty and all that sort of stuff. We're encouraged to commit ourselves to the body of Christ. In other words, rather than thinking about ourselves, we're to think of others, and rather than just trying to get everything right in our lives, we come and it's an act of faith. We come by faith, not because of anything we've done, not because of how good you are. Some people will say to me, you know, Jeff, I'm not really ready to commit myself to being a part of the church or a member of the church because I've got some things in my life that I need to sort out. You know, there is some stuff that I'm really, you know, I'm dealing with, and I feel a bit bad about it, or I feel I'm not on top of it. And when I sort that out, then I'll maybe then I can commit myself to the church. Or, you know, a lot of times it's external stuff. I've got to find somewhere to live first or something like that. But it's not about that, is it? It's about our faith in Christ Jesus. It's the faith that God gives to us. And we commit ourselves to his body as a part of that. You know, so often the things that you and I are valued for in the world and in society, maybe in the workplace, you're known as a bit of a whiz or a gun in some particular area, and you're looked up to and people seek out your opinions. Sometimes in the church, those things are not of great value, are not of great use. But there are other aspects of your personality and other aspects of your character and your giftings that will be used and will be a blessing. And so you come by faith, not trusting in your strengths and your abilities and your experience. You know, often churches will do this. They're looking for someone to be a leader, and they'll say, well, who is somebody who's had a lot of experience in the community, or a business leader, or someone like that? But we don't think in those terms, do we? This is a faith enterprise. We all come together in faith, and we all commit ourselves together in faith according to the grace that God supplies. Third thing to know about the church is that the church is kind of like mixed veggies. There are many images that are used in the Bible, and Paul likes to use the image of the body, the hand and the eye and the foot, and you know, all goes to, you take a body, usually your body will have 2 feet and two hands and so on, and 2 eyes and 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 1 nose. Strange, that one, isn't it? But, you know, usually and they all come together to make up the one body. But I like to think of mixed veggies. We had an indoor cricket team once, and it was called Mixed Veggies. Well, we wanted to call it Mixed Veggies, but we got called the Booze Brothers instead, which was crazy because we were not boozy guys, really. We couldn't afford to drink all that booze. Not at the cricket place anyway, but we were called the Mixed Veggies. We called ourselves the Mixed Veggies because we sort of felt that you know, summed up who we were. We were a bunch of slightly misfits, and the only thing that really we had in common was playing indoor cricket. So how do Mixed Veggies describe the church? Well, Paul here, he talks about how You notice that he says in verse 4, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body." Notice that if you didn't understand all that, you just would have heard a couple of words there. Many and one. Okay, so you're sitting at your table. Imagine you're sitting in your favorite chair. Where do you sit? Do you sit at the head or do you sit at the side at the dinner table? Imagine you're sitting at your table, dinner time, and you get a spoonful of mixed veggies. So what do you have in your mixed veggies, folks? You have peas, carrots, beans. Okay, that's a really healthy one. Okay, that's a controversial addition to the mixed veggies. And corn. Can't forget the corn. Corn. I think corn is my favorite. Corn and then followed by the peas. Never really. Those carrots are just, yeah. I eat them. I eat them all because I'm a father. But you've got to eat it all, you know. But, you know, you put a thing. So you don't say, the person dishing them up doesn't go, okay, in your mixed veggies, do you want the peas or the corn or the carrots or the beans? Sometimes kids will say, I don't want the beans or something like that. You don't do that. You just say, these are mixed veggies. Here they are. Here's a spoonful of them on the plate. But you look at them, you can see they're all different. And even the carrots, they're not all the same. And the peas, they're not all the same. They're all different shapes and sizes and so forth and different colours. And that's kind of what the church is like, isn't it? We're all different. We're all different shapes and sizes and colours and whatever. All different. No, none of us are the same. But we make up the one body, the church. And so, even if you think that you're just like a half of a piece of carrot, and you know sometimes you get those carrots with a bit of brown on them? You know, you get those ones where they've had a bit of frostbite or they've chopped off that carrot that's got a bit of rot on it. You might think you're one of those. You know, you think, man, I really shouldn't be on the in the mixed veggie bag. But you belong. You're in there, okay? You're not a broccoli. Now, if there was a broccoli in the mixed veggies, that would be a major problem, okay? But you're not. If you're peas, corns, carrots, and beans, you're okay. You're part of it. You're the mixed veggies. And even though you're not a big piece of corn, you might be just a little baby piece of corn, you belong. You belong. You all belong. You're part of the mixed veggies. Okay? So we shouldn't put ourselves on the outer. We shouldn't excuse ourselves. We shouldn't remove ourselves. We shouldn't hesitate about being a part of the church because we don't think we fit in. Because maybe we're not as big a piece of carrot as the other pieces of carrot. So church, it's kind of like mixed veggies. We are a part of the body of Christ. We are many and we're all members. Individually, we're members of Christ, we're members of one another, and the body meets, and we can be touched, we can be heard, we can be felt. You know, sometimes people talk about the invisible church and the visible church, and they might say, oh, I'm a member of the invisible church. Well, that's right, there is an invisible church, which is the church from all generations and all ages and all places in the world. But do you have anybody here have any invisible friends? What's your invisible friend's name, Hez? Okay. See, you have a birthday party and you say, I'm going to invite my invisible friends over for my birthday party. That's going to be a pretty pumping birthday party, isn't it? You'll get all the cake. You'll get all the cake. You'll dominate the conversation. You'll only talk about things you want to talk about. You'll do pass the parcel, you'll get all of the, yep, you'll get, it'll be just great. Because why? It'll be all about you. Okay? That's why we belong to the body of Christ, the real body of Christ. The one that can be touched and seen and smelt and all that, the real body of Christ. And we're part of it. This is the visible body. This is the church. And it's the mixed veggies, and you're part of it. just the final thing is this, is that the church membership requires obedience. You know, obedience, we don't like that word these days, do we much, folks? Don't hear it much in the church, do we, folks? Sounds kind of anti-grace, obedience. But obedience to Christ is very much a part of what it means to be a Christian. So here, Paul explains that. He says, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, and the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. What he's saying is here is that God has all given us gifts, and he's given us different gifts, and he's given us different gift capacities, different abilities, different strengths, and different weaknesses, and all of that. And he doesn't give them to you or to I just for ourselves, okay? When God has given you a gift, a spiritual gift, and he lists, this is not a comprehensive list, I believe, here, but he lists off these different ones here, for example, exhortation. He doesn't give that to you so you can exhort yourself and encourage yourself, does he? He gives you that gift so you can exhort, okay? You can encourage other people, and you can say, the Lord will help you, the Lord is with you, the Lord will bless you, don't give up. That's why he's given you that gift. But often we need obedience to use that gift and not just to try and hide it or put it away. You know, Jesus told a parable about these 10 men who had 10 servants, and he went away to a far country and he gave them a talent each. And they all treated it differently. One guy, he went away and invested it and he got 10 talents. Another guy got 5 talents. But the only one who got a growling was the one who said, I didn't do anything with the talent that you gave me, Lord. I went and hid it in a hole in the ground where nobody could see it, nobody could touch it, where it would be safe. And the master growls him and says, you know, that's a really wicked thing to do. Because I gave you something to use and you did nothing with it. And so it requires obedience for us to go and to take our gifts and our talents and those things that God has blessed us with to use others. Because if we don't use them, we rob ourselves and we rob our brothers and sisters. And also, you know what? We don't often think about this, but we rob unbelievers as well. Because God gives us gifts and talents so that we can be a blessing to others so that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is here, do you have a gift of making God's mind known to people? Then seek opportunities to use that gift. And he goes through all these different ones, the ones of giving and encouraging and so on. Use those gifts. Sometimes we worry about whether we really have a gift or not. It's sort of, sometimes I'll just say to people, well, if you have opportunities, use your gift, use it. And if people ask you and if they say to you, hey, that was really good, I was encouraged by that, I was helped by that, then that's the Lord is saying to you that here is something you've got, here's something you can use. You know, for example, preaching. I wouldn't be preaching if I didn't get asked to preach, okay? It's quite simple, really. If we're like, no, Jeff, no. And I say, yeah, I believe God has told me to be a preacher. I'm going to preach this Sunday. And you're going, oh, yeah, if you have to, well, we're not coming anyway. You know, that's kind of a sign. It would be the Lord saying to me, Jeff, you don't have it. You shouldn't do that. Maybe you should look at using some of your other gifts and things that I've given you. But it requires obedience, you know, because we don't often feel like doing that. It might make us feel nervous or put us out of our comfort zone. So it requires obedience. So this is how the body of Christ functions. I wanted to talk about that because, you know, with Hamish and Anita coming into membership in the church, it's just a good reminder of what that means, why we do this, why we talk about membership. Because we are members of a body. We are members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all different, but we all come together to make up the one body. That's why we call that. It should be the norm, folks. It shouldn't be like, oh, there's like ordinary Christians and then there's special Christians. So if you're here and you attend regularly and you wonder about membership, I'd love to talk to you about that. That's a great thing to talk about. And maybe you want to be a member of the church. Then that's, come and talk to me about that too. That would be a great thing. Because there's only one church of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. There's only one church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the church of all those who have been chosen by God, have believed in Him, have put their trust in Him, have repented of their sins, and have been brought into His body and accepted by Him. As Paul says here, he says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same functions, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You give us one another. We confess, Heavenly Father, that sometimes pride can get in the way and we can be focused on ourselves. We think that we're too important. We pray, Lord God, that You would humble us and help us not to think of ourselves as being better than we are. We pray, Lord God, that You would help us to think of one another just so that we can serve one another with the gifts that You've given us as we come by faith. And we pray, Lord God, that as together, being all different, we would glorify You by using our gifts, by using those things that You've blessed us with, so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can be a source of encouragement and help to others. Pray for each one of us here, Lord God, as we look at ways to serve You in our different churches, different communities. We pray, Father, that You would guide us, that you would help us to trust You to lead us into that right realm of service. And we thank You above all for our Savior Jesus Christ, who by faith is the one who brings us into His family, the family of God, to be a part of His body, His hands, His feet, His ears and His mouth upon the earth. For we pray in His name. Amen.